Well, ever since the gag order was lifted on members of the jury in the case of Judy Barry and Daryl Cherney against the FBI, there have been a couple of jurors who have spoken out. Most outspoken, Mary Nunn, who has spoken with several members of the media already. This Wednesday, she was on the North Coast and appeared live on KMUD's Women on Wednesday, after which she also spoke with KMUD News. We spoke at length, but we'll go into some of the issues we touched on at this point. One of the things that she pointed out is that she was not prejudiced in favor of the plaintiffs before the trial began, and the opening arguments, contrary to what some would have thought, did not make much difference.
The opening arguments didn't do it for me at all. I mean, although each person told us what the case was about, it didn't do it for me. I think somebody, I think Cunningham, his opening argument was that the trees and how they're important in our environment. And see, because we're in a war setting, and all that's on the TV lately is the bombing in the mountains of Afghanistan and what have you. That's all you see, right? You don't see any nature. You just see mountains. You don't see much nature. And I know there are little oases in those areas, but there was nothing there but mountains. So, but yet people are coexisting and striking wars. And so when he said these things, to show you how far away I was from on their side, I wrote down in response, they don't have any trees in the Middle East. And they're raging wars of war, you know, right? So that was my response to that. So that lets you know about the end. That didn't touch me.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't touch me.
What did touch you?
When they started calling people to come up and take the stand. And the questions.
The defendants?
When they started calling some of the plaintiffs' witnesses. They started setting up a platform, setting a case, setting a flow of events. They went into depth. You know, when did you arrive? What did you do when you arrived? Who else was there? I don't recall who was there. You don't recall who was there? Were you talking? No, we weren't talking. And they show a film. His ears are moving. He's talking. So there's one lie. I mean, everybody lied, and they lied over and over again. Just, they lied once. Do you listen anymore? See, I mean, to me, if you're on the stand, you're taking an oath. Right? In front of God and everybody. I mean, what is this oath about? Does that give you a leeway to lie? So, I mean, if you lie... So after they lied about 15 times, I kind of lost interest. I'm not going to... Anything they say, they can say it, but it holds no credence anymore. Do you understand? So, that's all I saw was lies in each one, because each one would counter the other. And then videotapes would show different. Or search warrants would show different. Or all the facts show different, you know?
How was it for the other jurors, do you think? Was it as easy for them to see that there was a problem with the defense's
argument? Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have to... I mean, some issues, per se, maybe when somebody arrived, they're like, oh, he didn't arrive there, he wasn't there. Oh, yes, he was there, and I will show you where he was there, and we would show him maybe something like that. But as far as them not claiming something, or the nails not matching, or position of the bomb, or things that they would attest to. There was no problem with that. We totally could see the untruths, and we could totally see the dodging of sorts.
So all along during the trial, then, it was basically the defendants who really sunk their own ship. They did it for themselves. Was there anything that the plaintiffs did in terms of their presentation that helped clarify it for you?
The plaintiffs didn't have to give justification for anything. You have to understand something here. These two hadn't committed any crime. Crime had been committed against them. You understand? So they didn't have to give credibility for anything. So when they took the stand, it wasn't there to give credence or validity or anything. We already knew they were not guilty. The U.S. District Attorney said so. I don't care what kind of smoke screens they were trying to present or project or get the focus off of themselves and put it back on them. They were clear to that. We weren't there to try them, although they were trying to make it as such. We were there to find out why those guys did what they did on that day. And till this day, we do not know. Because they never justified what they did. They just kept scooting away from the questions. They would not answer the questions. They diverted.
What would you say then? How would you describe the decision-making process of the jury? How difficult was it? Was it easy? Was it split?
It was very hard. Why it was hard is because we had to go through everything. We had to turn to the page where it existed. We had to find their rest time. Not just what they said in court or somebody on the stand said. We wanted it written. We wanted to see it for ourselves. We wanted to see how it coincided. Was it really 3 p.m.? And it really was. And why? What would make them motivate them to do that? And why Ludwig? This is where he is every day at this time. Is this what he normally does with people that come in with massive injuries? No. Somebody influenced him. And whom? And why? What's the incentive behind it? Why? What? And that made us very suspicious, and we dug to find out.
Which one was Ludwig?
Ludwig was the cop who his gig was manning the hospital. That was his beat, the hospital. He was an on-duty cop at the hospital, and he was off at 4. And they came in, you know, before 4, and he filled out that arrest warrant. You understand? So he was a responsible one. And we want to know why, because he wasn't at the scene. What would make him take that leap? This was someone who was a victim. Why would he now hence be arresting her? So we were really curious about that. Why would this be happening?
So you did a lot of detective work. You took all the facts that were presented to you and really went through them meticulously.
Oh, yeah, definitely. With a fine-tooth comb, mind you. Things, columns were drawn up. You should have seen that room. There was no room left on the walls. They were saturated with art paper everywhere. Everywhere were columns and names and the crimes that they had committed attached to their name. Each one had a line about an arm length long. Each one had an offense they had contributed to in the bringing down of Judy and Daryl. Each one. And there was no denying their contribution, what they had done. They'd deny it, but there was no denying it because it was written and it was proven that they had done that. You understand?
It took 10 years longer to get to that courtroom where you were the jury, and it took a lot of digging on the part of Judy Barry and the people who are working with her, and yet in the course of a number of weeks you were able to paste it all together and get a good idea of what had happened. There were a lot of minute details that they dug up.
The plaintiffs. Definitely.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten it.
No, and that's another thing. Let's not forget. What about all the documents that were conveniently lost? The 52nd documents? How about the hospital records that were conveniently lost? What the heck is going on? This place is meticulous at file keeping. Huh? Who has a system beyond compare? How dare they? Well, it's so convenient. They don't lose anything. They're adamant note writers. Oh, but yet they misplaced them or one. This note counted to the other. It didn't make sense. You know, it just didn't make sense. None of it made sense. It just looked like a total sabotage. It was a conspiracy. And it should have been a conspiracy, but conservative people, what are you going to do?
Yeah. What about the fact that you came and you asked for some materials and the judge said, well, it's in the record?
Oh, yeah, we wanted the First and Fourth Amendment. We wanted documented copies brought into the deliberation room so we could go over it. We could continually to go over it, day in, day out, and attach how they violated, so we could see it. And her address to that was reading it very fast, and us not prepared to know that she was going to read it, to have our pen ready in hand to take note, and nobody really did, because it was too quick and too fast, and we thought she'd actually either give it to us later, or but we didn't know she was going to verbally give it to us. We weren't prepared for that. We'd have to have a stenographer to get that for us, and then take it back.
And there wasn't a stenographer there?
No, not for us.
Yeah.
I mean, one of our jurors would have to be a stenographer and be taking that down as quickly as she gave it to us. She shunned a lot of things. Why? She's part of the whole system of things, I mean.
Why would you say that you decided that the First Amendment issue was more important than the Fourth Amendment one, at least in terms of monetary awards?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what the case was severely about. It was about what was the main reason why they got involved, the FBI, because these people were growing in numbers and were growing volume, and they were reaching people. They had a proposition in the works. This is how far-fetched they had gotten. They had people from Congress on their committee, and they were making waves, and they were making headway, and they were making sense, and they were a threat. They were a threat. And unfortunately, this is how a threat is shut down. And they hoped in the assistance of that. And that's why, because it was an atrocity, and it shouldn't be tolerated or permitted, and that's why, and it reflected as such.
And what about Mary Nunn's freedom of speech and her willingness now to speak out, despite the fact that she is very critical of law enforcement, having looked at this particular case in minute detail?
You have to speak out for what's right, because if you don't, it continues. If you keep it in the dark, it stays in the dark. Integrity is what you do at night, you understand? And you got to shed light on that night activity that the FBI do, and the Oakland PD collaborated with. Mm-hmm. Highly influenced by the FBI, but willingly adjoined them.
And that was Mary Nunn speaking with KMUD News, the juror in the Judy Barry versus the FBI case. We'll bring you more on that at a later date. Hopefully be able to put some of the interview on the Women on Wednesday and also KMUD News interview together for you. And by the way, Mary Nunn is employed by American Airlines at the ticket counter in Oakland, and she spoke about that also. Again, we'll bring you more at a later date.